there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 281 for Thursday, March 31st, 2016. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson. As promised, this week is going to be an all Q&A podcast. So all questions, all answers, nothing other than questions and answers. What, Jerry, what else do we do other than questions and answers anyway?
I can juggle. I don't know.
All right.
You always put me on the spot.
I know. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. How's it going? I'm Phil. Yeah, most of the time we do questions and answers, but this time we are specifically not going to talk about this phone that I very much am working the heck out of right now, or its cousin, this phone, which is the same one. The LG G5 is here. Next week, we will talk a whole lot about the G5 now that I've got proper retail units here. And hopefully by then we'll have our review up. I hope. So I'm working on that. Russell, how are you? What's going on with
you? I am wonderful. Did you know that it is 7 days until I get to play with my Vive?
You didn't sound excited about that at all.
No, not at all.
So yours didn't get canceled?
No. Mine went through just fine. I hope that it wasn't too many people.
Yeah. I'm as disappointed as I am, like, I have no time or space or anything for those, but God, maybe I'll come up there and play.
I think you should. We should just get a whole bunch of people up here.
And we'll record it with my 360 cam from LG that also came in that big giant package. Did you guys watch my unboxing video of all that?
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, wow. I'm not a big fan of unboxings, but, you know, at least LG put some thought into sending that stuff, so that was kind of fun.
It was a clever box.
I just love psychedelic treasure chest. I kind of liked it.
It was. I just love how people on YouTube, you can almost see it down there in the corner. There it is on the desk over there. People on YouTube were like very concerned about how I was treating the devices and thought I was throwing them like inch from my hand.
It was basically abuse. You're a terrible person.
I'm a professional.
It's YouTube's job to be concerned about all manner of things.
I've been doing this a long time. I can properly eject a device from my hand 2 inches onto a cardboard box without breaking anything.
Abuse. People are going to come knock on your door.
It takes years of practice. Not everyone can do it. I have figured it out.
They're going to kick your door in and take you away.
And people were upset. It was great. Made me want to do it some more. So, all Q&A this week, we've got 9 voicemails lined up. We're going to go through some of the emails we have stockpiled. We're not going to get to every email. I'm sorry. We've got the live Q&A going on here for people who are watching live. So, we haven't forgotten about you. And maybe I'll have a question or two. I did have a question, but now I don't remember what it was. Maybe it'll come to me. So, should we just dive right into it?
We shall.
Yep.
As soon as I remember my password to unlock my other computer. All right, well, let's start with the voicemails, and let us start with Chris.
Hello, Android Central Podcast. This is Chris from Florida. Yes, the wonderful sunshine state of Florida, Phil. You know what I mean.
I do.
I had a question, hopefully an easy one. I just received the Marshmallow update for the HTC One M9 on Sprint. I was excited when I was looking online when they were talking about, I think it's called the System UI Tuner, where you can change icons on your status bar or like make icons go away and all that kind of fun stuff. So I was excited to see that. But then when I got the update on the HTC One M9, couldn't find it. I know you press on the little gear normally for it to pop up, but nothing happens when I do that on HTC One M9. So my question is that available for the HTC One M9? Did HTC take that out? Is there a quick hack that I could put it back on there, or is it an app? Or thank you.
I know the answer to that, and it's an easy one. It's just not there.
Well, it's also listed as an experimental feature that can be removed at any time, even on a Nexus phone. So
that's why I don't like people talking about stuff like that, like it's a normal feature, because it's not. It's hidden, and this one's not hidden as many or as deeply as some features are. Features.
He may be able to take Nova Launcher, install it, and try to set a shortcut on your desktop to an activity and see if you can't find it in there. I mean, it's possible that HTC just took the front end out because they don't want to confuse people.
Sure. A9 was the same way, which is how I know that. And I remember specifically people asking at the time. But yeah, pretty simple. Just not their thing. And I get it. It's, like Jerry said, it's experimental. If you want cool toys like that, you know the answer, Jerry.
What's the answer, Phil?
Gold Nexus.
That's it.
That is.
I just wanted to hear someone else say it.
Oh, you might hear someone else say it by the time these voicemails are done.
I love this person, whoever they may be.
That was an easy one. Do one more. Let's do another one. This is Docket.
Hey, guys. This is Docket from Chicago. Just wanted to say you guys have been doing an awesome job. Keep up the good work. Now to my question. I recently decided it was time to upgrade my tablet from a Nexus 7. I came to the conclusion that the Surface 4 was best suited for my needs. With that being said, I would still like to have an option of running Android somehow. So I was wondering what your suggestions on maybe a good emulator or dual booting using Remix OS, or is there any plans for Chrome OS to support Android apps? Thanks.
Android apps on Chrome, Jerry.
It kind of works. It's, I think all the fervor died down even from the people at Google. It's not being talked about anymore. It still kind of works. But what my recommendation, if you just want to run Android apps and you don't care about having access to the system or being an Android tablet, just use BlueStacks. Mm-hmm. It'll install on your Surface 4, and it's super simple to set up. It may not be the best option, and it may not provide the very best performance, but the ease of use makes that my go-to.
Well, and BlueStacks is one of those things where it either works or it doesn't. Right out of the box, you install the app, it either fails or it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it works really well. So I definitely agree with Jerry there.
And yeah, you have access to your same Google account, all your apps. That's what I do.
On the other hand, if you are feeling clever and want to give it a try, Arc Welder isn't the worst thing in the world. If you really feel like getting technical and understanding that more things are broken than not, it is kind of nice having it part of the Chrome launcher, like to be able to just access the stuff. It's a little nicer to launch the apps that work than BlueStacks, I think.
I used it for a little while.
But it's way more broken.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I quit, because I got to the point where I couldn't get Instagram to work, which is the reason I was using it to post stuff to the AC account. And now that we have multiple accounts, that kind of makes that moot. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my other question. It's like, why, what are you trying to do? And what is there that you can only do well on a full laptop in Android?
You know, the biggest reason I hear from people that mm-hmm. they want is Instagram.
Right.
Instagram sucks at your desktop.
Yep.
Compared to the Android app or the iOS app or any app.
Posting, you mean, or
posting,
perusing,
yeah.
Or yeah.
Creating and posting an image, that's it. The desktop website portal for Instagram has nothing.
Here's what I'm doing, and it's overkill. It's overkill and it's clunky, and I'm trying to look right now. I don't even remember. Right, so they do have a free version. Is I'm using Hootsuite for that, and they've got an interesting workaround because there's not a Instagram doesn't have a proper public API for posting. And I get that, but it's not like it's kept brands out of Instagram, right? Hootsuite, you can post your image to Hootsuite, drag it into their thing and type whatever you want to type, and which is nice because you can do it on a full-size keyboard. And it takes it and it shoots it over into Hootsuite's app in Android, and then it opens up the image, and then it shares the image from its app into Instagram. So it's like sharing from a gallery into Instagram, right? It makes total sense. It copies all the text that you did into the clipboard, and then you just paste it in there in the Instagram app. And it works pretty well. I mean, it's clunky. It's, it's a few steps. But once you get that workflow down, it's not awful.
I did that too. I forget which phone. We had you somewhere, I think New Orleans, and Alex was somewhere, and everybody was taking pictures with the same phone, and we wanted to post them on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I did that from home with Hootsuite. And it does work.
I remember that, yeah.
It's just, at that point, if I have to use my phone anyway, you know, if you get your phone involved, I'll just pick up my phone and push the button there. But,
and I tell you, if you know, it would work really well, except it doesn't, would be the Pixel C.
Yeah. If you can find something to put that thing to use.
Well, I mean, the problem is the Instagram app sucks in the Pixel C because I guess you could maybe use the Folio keyboard. No, you can't, because it doesn't like sit in anything. Because the Instagram app still forces itself landscape or portrait.
And that's why I haven't said a whole lot about the Pixel. I haven't tried it with a keyboard yet.
You're going to be doing it sideways is the problem.
Well, but I mean, in general, that tablet is just too big for something I want to hold in my hands.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not super excited. And I want to circle back to Remix OS.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good option, and those people, you know, they're working hard on making that really, really nice. But as far as dual booting with it, that's always a risk when you mess with computer partition tables, and you know, there's the risk there that when you go back to restart, you don't get anything but your BIOS screen because stuff has been messed up. So anybody listening that's thinking about that option, just know in advance that it's a little more technically involved to dual boot with it. Not hard, but you want to read a little bit.
Russell, any words of wisdom from you?
Not really. I mean, yeah, dual booting is complicated. I knew that Jerry was going to say all the things that I was going to say. It's it's one of those things where it works really super well, you know, when you can get it to work. But I've had some really spectacular failures with dual boot that causes me to kind of shy away from it unless I'm doing something really specific. It's, you know, this is the privileged tech blogger talking, but it's almost always easier for me to have more than one machine for that kind of thing.
Yep. I don't disagree with that at all.
And are you still playing that Nintendo app?
Is that what Russell's doing over there?
I see him looking down at something in his hands. I know what he's doing.
That's the equivalent of somebody driving with their phone in their hands. It's Russell podcasting. And
I'm
looking
podcasting
down
with a phone in my hand. Dare I?
Oh, man. God, I was getting so pissed at somebody doing that today, actually.
I think I'm going to make Jerry play this game now.
Yeah.
I don't like the word make Jerry do anything.
It's
going to
drive him
now.
Bananas. I'm going to make him play it all weekend. Actually, yeah, that's what's going to happen after this hangout. I'm going to make him install it. He's going to hate me.
Should we do another voicemail, or you want to dive in somewhere else?
Do we want to jump back and forth between Q&A, maybe?
I don't mind.
Maybe that works.
Sure. Here's a good one from Matt, because I've had this question and haven't bothered asking Jerry. What happened to the mid-month March security update? And by the way, this is in the live Q&A. What happened in the mid-month March security update? Dude, trying to twist my tongue. Today is the last day of March, and I haven't received it on any of my Nexus devices.
Same here. Haven't received it either. We were actually asking the same question earlier. I haven't actually sent an email out to anyone official because it's not the end of the month yet. Sometimes updates are hard. And so I figured I'd... 15 days is usually pretty good when it comes to updates and stuff like that. But
it was just weird that they, you know, did this mid-month announcement and said it's coming. And then, I mean, I would have totally understood if they said, hey, there's this thing. There are some other mitigating circumstances. We need to make you aware of it. Don't need to worry about it. And it'll push out in the April update.
Yeah, I agree.
I would have been fine with that.
I asked. I didn't get an answer. I mean, I got no reply, which is doubly infuriating because I think I've always handled bad news well from you know, software engineering is a job, a hard job.
Sure.
I'm very disappointed that we're back to the lack of transparency when we've been enjoying complete transparency for, 5 months now?
Or at least the appearance of transparency.
Yes, we think it's transparent. If there's a reason why it did not get shipped in the very near future, quote unquote, just tell us. They released this code for this specific patch because BlackBerry did it. I just want to know why we didn't get it, and I have no idea. I'm going to assume that, you know, Monday we'll have it bundled in with the April patch.
I would imagine so, or if not Monday, next week, whenever it is. Yeah, that's my guess. Fouch. In the Q&A, says, Phil from Tallahassee here. Fouch 30. hope I'm pronouncing Fouch properly. Just wanted to say that when my wife and I went to watch the Zac Brown Band and Hop came on the stage, my wife said, "Hey, isn't that the guy you always watch on YouTube?"
Oh my God, I gotta look that up.
That's great.
That's good.
I'm torn on Zac Brown, I'll be honest. I'm not a big country music fan, but I think he's pretty good. I think the band's pretty good. It's just, it's a little too Southern for my taste, even given where I live.
You do look a lot like that guy.
He's lost a lot of weight too. Looks good. Plays down here every now and then, especially over Orange Beach. They have this amphitheater right on the water called The Wharf. Very cool. Zac Brown. I don't sing that good. I'm not sure I play guitar that good either, actually. All right. Let's go back to the voicemails real quick. This is a really good one from John Paul, and I want to take a couple minutes on it, and I know you guys probably have ideas too, but specifically, it's kind of my fault, so here we go.
Hi, Phil and guys. This is John Paul. I have a question. It's not really an Android question. It's more of an editorial question. One of last week's big news stories was a certain website that created a channel for adult content to be viewed in VR. Android Central reported on it, and so did lots of tech sites. It prompted a discussion within the community about whether or not Android Central should have reported on it, if that was unprofessional or if it seemed to contradict the community guidelines, which prohibit not safe for work content. Or the counterpoint, it's not Android Central's job to raise kids. Lots of sites reported on it, and it's a parent's responsibility to monitor what their kids do online. I just wanted to bring it up to give you guys an opportunity to share your opinion about whether you think that's acceptable to report on, if Android Central does enough to prevent underage readers from potentially learning about things they shouldn't know about. And on a more personal level, if you don't mind sharing, I know Phil has daughters. I think Russell might have kids. You know, how do you guys manage your kids' online activity? Anyway, I appreciate the insights. Sorry about the long voicemail.
No, it's an awesome question. I like this.
It was a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a fair one. I mean, go back to the editorial direction a little bit, I guess. And a long time ago, Jerry and I kind of decided, and I don't remember if we asked anybody else, but I'd like to think I at least maybe asked you guys, hey, if you've got a real problem with this idea, let's talk about it. But I like the idea, especially for the site, of doing things that other people don't do, whether you're afraid to do it or just don't want to. Afraid's not the right word. But talking about things of an adult nature in an adult way was one of those things I wanted us to be open to, because I think it's important. And like Jean-Paul says, your kids are going to see stuff anyway, and they're going to find out stuff anyway. So I would like us to at least be able to talk about it in some form of an adult way. And generally, I don't think we've necessarily done it in a way that's not safe for work, actually. We haven't shown nudity on the site.
I take extra special care to make sure that there's nothing being displayed that I wouldn't want my mother to look at.
I do know there's stuff in our ad contracts that says we can't do that, and I don't want to anyway. And actually, anything that we tag as NSFW doesn't have ads on those pages. I don't know if anyone's noticed. Just to be
careful.
We're
also pretty specific about when we publish it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not something that goes up at, you know, noon on a Friday or something like that.
Right. And to go one step further, now that we're more globally focused,
yep.
I double-checked to make sure that people in India and China wouldn't lose their mind seeing a post that's in the middle of the day for them, because it's late at night in the United States and Canada. And if the answer had been yes, I think people will be offended. I would not have posted it that night, and I would have let somebody higher up the ladder than me figure out how.
It was a good question. I hadn't thought about it. Yeah. Because, midnight here is not midnight everywhere. I think generally speaking, we've done and the story in question last week, about porn being on VR, was just really a kind of a basic news story. But we've done other things. We've done stories with Me Candy before, and Jen did a really really good thing on, well, I guess her Google Glass wasn't so much about SEX. Kids can spell that, I'm sorry. But I just didn't want us to be afraid to talk about it. And I don't want to be afraid to talk about it with my kids. My kids are going to hear about it. They're going to have questions. They're going to find things silly. I'm going to find some things silly. It's going to be uncomfortable. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jesus, I have two daughters, and I'm still trying to reconcile in my head, like, being an adult male and and being a straight adult male and like, you know, I love attractive women. I love my wife. I love doing things to my wife. I don't want my kids to see, but how do you reconcile the fact that I have daughters and they're going to be doing that stuff one day? And it messes with your head. It does.
It doesn't mess with me too much. I my house is a little weird because I have two girls and a boy, and I've been pulled aside on at least one occasion by Phil and Jerry. There's a big old poster in my living room of all the Pink Floyd albums painted on the backs of all of these incredibly beautiful women.
It's a great album cover.
Yep. It is, yeah. And on top of that, like Paul Rushton is someone that I talk to a lot, or at least did talk to for a lot for a while, and bought a bunch of his artwork and have a book of just the amazing body painting stuff that he's done. And that stuff is, you know, it's there for everyone that walks into my house to look at any time. And that includes, you know, all three of my kids. And they're young enough that, you know, I have to have that conversation with them and explain to them, you know, how that works and why it's different, and not necessarily talking about the, you know, the physical part of it that happens next. But
is it, you know, are they like, oh, hey, that's cool art? Or are they just like, ew, they're naked?
Well, yeah. So there's a joke in our house that there are butts on the wall.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's butts. So there's a 6-year old boy and he laughs when he sees butts, but
I do.
But yeah, most of the time it's just, you know, it's art and that, you know, how that got presented.
I don't know what to tell you about kids and online, and that it scares the crap out of me. It really does.
It's a constant thing.
Yeah.
I handled this differently because my kids are older, mm-hmm. and the internet was very new when my kids were growing up, but I was an early adopter tech nerd. So we had internet in our house and each of my kids had their own computer. Let's talk about what you saw on the internet today, what you do on the internet today. Mm-hmm. And I talked with my kids, and if they told me, well, I was in a Yahoo chat room and I left because some guy was in there talking really outlandish, inappropriate stuff, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there like that. You just like in the real world, you ignore them and walk away. And I never had any problems, but the internet now is different. Yeah. I'm also not hung up on nudity. My family just isn't. So to me, there's a very distinct line between nudity and pornography. And I realize that doesn't apply for everybody. I don't see any issue with Pink Floyd butts on your wall. I think that's beautiful artwork.
I don't mind us being a little subversive and slipping something that's potentially marginal like that every now and then. That's our fun and playful nature.
It's happened a whole lot of times.
Yeah, I know. That's our fun. Look, I've done it too. I can point out the post. I see people, oh my God.
I deleted and changed a picture one time before anybody caught it that had something in the background that would have just driven everybody insane.
Was it the dick butt?
No.
Oh, okay. You can tell me later.
Yeah.
Or not.
but my biggest question about all of this stuff, and I understand everyone has concerns, is are you understanding that your concerns are no more valid than anyone else's concerns?
Are just as valid as everyone else's concerns.
You know, we also get complaints about, I put up a post about a Borderlands game coming to the Shield TV today. If you've played Borderlands, all you do is kill things and watch the blood pour out of their body. A lot of people are going to find that offensive and, you know, not very tasteful. Those concerns are valid, and I think that they appear silly to a lot of people. So everybody needs to understand that everybody's threshold for what is and is not in good taste is completely different. And we're not trying to offend anyone.
And, you know, I mean, it goes into kind of basic parenting to me. How do I explain to my young daughters, because I do think it's different for girls, that pornography is okay, but it's not real life. It's not right. How things really are. But at the same time, you know, it's not this... to me, this horrendous bad thing that people should be burned for. But at the same time, you know, women need to be treated with respect. And it's all these conflicting ideas. And at the same time, I think it's perfectly okay for people to get, I know people who get downright offended at, you know, the mere mention of it. And that's fine. So how does all that stuff, I think that it comes together online the way it does in these discussions and in what we do, makes it really interesting and really important. And I think as long as we aren't afraid to talk about it and treat it in an adult manner, or semi-adult, because butts are funny.
Yeah.
You know, then I'm all for it. And I think it's an important thing. I always thought that was one of the funniest things working in the newspaper for so long. It's not that it was conservative or like, you know, they're afraid to print, you know, a dirty word if somebody says a bad word in a quote. You know, to me, that was ridiculous because you sound like a 5-year-old, you know, bleeping yourself like that. And it's just nuts. To kind of close that out, you know, how do you protect your kids online? You talk to them. I really think what Jerry said was spot on.
It's talk a constant to conversation.
Yeah. I like the idea. I used to say that we were only going to have a computer like out in the living room where it was in plain sight and everybody could see it. That just, it was a good idea. It's not practical because frankly, I need to babysit my kids with a computer. Or I want to, because, you know, sometimes kids are a little annoying.
don't bother with those, like the apps and stuff that auto filter stuff,
because always a way around it.
There's always a way around it. And you're never going to think about it because the people who are doing it are never going to think about it. Earlier this week, my daughter was looking for a new wallpaper for her laptop. And she's all about Ariel and the Little Mermaid right now.
Oh,
and
boy.
I went and talked to her. I was, you know, I wanted to see where she got the, because she found a really neat wallpaper. And I was like, this is kind of nice. Where did you get it from? She said, oh, I got it on DeviantArt. And I went, oh, brakes, pump the brakes. I've been on that website. There are lots of things that are not child appropriate there.
Yeah. And that's, and I mean, it's, everyone's got to make the decision for themselves.
Well, now about the Pornhub story, that needed talked about, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with us doing that.
That went beyond pornography, but touches on the fact that pornography drives industries. Even if you don't like it, enough people like it that when the porn industry adopts a technology, it takes off.
Yep.
And to see the porn industry embrace VR is yet another sign that this is going to be big, even if you think it's not going to be big.
I think it's absolutely silly, but like in content, but yeah, Jerry's right.
And we're going to have to circle back to it at some point because of the stuff that Google did this week with VR View, where now it's going to be embedded directly in websites and part of apps. And it's going to be super easy to get this, any 360 content to people. It's only going to make this grow. So
I remember waking up that year. I went to Korea, waking up early one morning and finally I just banged it out real quick. And I don't know why this post about apps that you might consider to be safe, but really they're not safe. You know, like Instagram, it's perfectly, you know, you can find something in 2 seconds that you probably wouldn't want your kids to see. And Instagram makes a living off of it, by the way. You know, Facebook, it's not hard either. And certainly Twitter. I mean, it's not difficult from anything that you would maybe otherwise consider to be an innocuous app. It's the Sears catalog of online. Wow, now I'm really dating myself now.
No, that's a great example because I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I moved back to Twitter. I owe it a second chance. And I was instantly taken aback by all the hate speech.
Yeah.
That shows that I'm paying attention to the wrong people. But my first thought was, oh my God, Twitter needs to stop this. And then my second thought was, Jerry, no, you're absolutely wrong. Twitter doesn't need to stop anybody.
That goes against everything Jerry stands for.
Right. Right. But it's things you don't like are everywhere.
The bigger challenge for me right now is explaining to my eldest daughter, she's 9 and she very much wants to be a part of this. And some of her friends are already. Some of her friends are on Instagram. And it's, how do I teach her that the number of likes that a picture has that I've posted is not the reason I posted it. And it's not, to me, the most important part. I don't know. I'm still working on that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Now you got me thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm glad mine have moved away.
They can internet on their own time.
I don't even want to think about what they're looking at.
Look, if our kids are half as screwed up as we are, then, I mean, and everyone has and should have, I think, their kinks on their own. There was a line I dropped on Sasha Pallenberg. If you don't know Sasha, he's awesome. German guy lives in Taiwan, I don't even know all their websites. They do Mobile Geeks now. And Sasha was awesome. And we were talking in, I think it was in Barcelona one year, maybe Berlin. I forget where we were. And we were talking about, this was right as the Ed Snowden stuff was blowing up. And I said, people aren't going to care about governments tracking them until their search histories are made public. We totally have gotten off Jean-Paul's question with that one. But but my point is, everyone, except for maybe my wife, because she's pure as the virgin snow. But everyone has those secrets and those kinks and those things that they don't want other people to know. And they should. But how do you teach your kids to come into that adult life safely and emerge the other side? I don't know. It's tough. It ain't easy. It's fun, though. I'm enjoying it. And sometimes it's squeamish and uncomfortable. You're right there, Jerry.
I'm just glad I handled myself this well.
This is the after school special edition of the Android Central podcast. Q&A edition. I'm having fun. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Well, I need a break after that. So let's do this. Let's take a break, in fact. When we come back, more Q&A. Lots more Q&A, more voicemails. Maybe a couple emails. More of the live Q&A. More questions about what Jerry searches for on Twitter. Hang on. We'll be right back. All right, this is the point where I tell you to be like me. Go to harrys.com and use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. Harry's offers high-quality razors and blades for a fraction of the price of the big razor brands. Now, here's the deal. I know I have a beard. Jerry, you can see it? You can see my beard?
Yes, sir.
You also have a beard. Right here, I do not have a beard. No beard right here. Correct. I don't have a beard. I got to work on that some more. Down here, I got to clean it up a little bit. For me, this is perfect. This is why Harry's makes perfect sense. $15. You get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, or gel, and 3 razor blades. They ship them straight to your door. How awesome is that? No more having to go to the drugstore. No more having to unlock those stupid unlocky things. I can't stand it. Straight to your house. $15. It's that simple. They make their own blades from their own factory. They make them in Germany. In fact, they like that factory so much they bought it. That's always good to hear. So it's not just some corporation doing things. They've got some skin in the game, so to speak. But not on your face. No. Skin still on your face? Leave the skin on your face. I think. Jerry's not following me here.
I'm following you, but I'm just distancing myself.
So you get the convenience and ease of ordering online. High quality blades, a great handle and shaving cream, and excellent customer service at half the price. Again, 3 blades, shaving cream, $15 right at your door. Go to harrys.com, harrys.com. Use coupon code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. Jerry, go do it right now.
Thinking about it, believe it or not.
Yeah? Would you ever shave the entire beard off?
I'm talking to somebody now, maybe doing that for charity.
Really?
Yep, beard and hair.
Whoa.
I'm soft inside.
You heard it here first, boys and girls.
If I can raise a little bit of money for cancer research, I'll shave my entire body.
Oh, hey.
We shipped him that 360 camera, right?
Here's one. Oh, man. Let's see what's going on in the Q&A here on the side. Chris says, I'm going to be receiving a Nexus 5X international version without Band 12 support. Is it still very usable in the U.S.? He's in Tampa and Orlando. I know there were complaints with the OnePlus X. Here's what I would do. I would go into our forums and ask people in those forums where they live and see if you can find people in Orlando and in Tampa.
Let's back up a second. I don't think it's a Band 12 issue that people are having with
OnePlus X was other bands, yeah.
Yeah, it was either 4 or... And that if it's banned, and I'm not sure what the 5X, there is a band missing on the international 5X that people in the U.S. like to have. If it's band 4 and you use AT&T, yes, you're going to have problems. Unless where you live doesn't use band 4 and you never go anywhere else. But other than that, you won't notice anything. If you use it with T-Mobile, no issues.
Cool. Oh, Fouch has another good question. Just wondering about how you guys started to work with AC and each other. Did you have to submit resumes? Were you guys really into the forums, etc.? It's not my field. Just curious as how it works at your office. Seems like a great place to work. It's a weird place to work, I'll tell you that. Mm. The short version for AC, and it's a little different for all the sites. Short version for AC was I was researching buying my first phone. This would have been back in like 2008, I think, or maybe 2006. I forget. And I remember running across these networks of sites. I was going to buy a Trio 750. And I found Trio Knots and I found Trio Central. And it was weird because they had like store stuff that all looked the same. And I finally realized they were sort of related, but not really. And I bought the phone. I started posting in the forums some. And then I think that was the Windows Mobile one. And then I think I got another phone after that. I don't remember. And then Dieter one day said, hey, do you want to try writing part-time? I said, why not? Because I worked in the newspaper and had days off. I worked at night and did part-time writing for Windows. It was, what were we? WM Experts.
Yeah.
And then after a couple years of that, we realized this Android thing was going to take off. And so December 2009, I quit the newspaper and literally like the next day flew to Orlando for an editor's meeting and met everybody, and which we were going to do anyway, or I guess at least they were going to do, but, and went to work and went to CES a month later and Barcelona a month after that for the first time and hit the ground running, had no idea what I was doing and was, apparently I did a few things okay, but was still pretty lost when I look back at it. I forget where we got you from, Jerry. I think one of the forum mods was helping out.
I think I was in a halfway house and needed somebody to bail me out of trouble. But yeah, you came to me one day when the HTC Hero came out. I jumped on a bunch of development because, frankly, I was tired of my BlackBerry. And I had been around Mobile Nations, well, back then they were smartphone experts, mm-hmm. for a long time with CrackBerry and Nokia experts. But I moved to Android because I'm a big Linux fan. And when the Hero came out, I went ahead and grabbed one on the first day. And I found one of the exploits you could use to root it. And I just went to town and decided, hey, other people might be interested, and started sharing this stuff. And boom, a lot of people started paying attention to the dumb things I had to say. So. And one of them was Phil.
Russell, we finally hired after he begged us so much. Can I come? No.
What's funny is that I kind of did. Like, yeah, really early on.
Yeah. I remember that, actually. Now that you mention it, you did beg.
But then you said no. And so I went and played with computers for a while. And then you said yes later on.
I tell you, hiring people is hard. It's always difficult. And I'm slow to do. I mean, you notice we haven't added a lot of people at AC, like, ever. Yeah, it's tough. It's really hard hiring people. And I think anyone will tell you that. If you've read that book that Jonathan, I just forgot his last name, and Eric Schmidt wrote, was it called About Google? A good chunk of that is about hiring people. It's not an easy thing to do. Let's see, Andrew. I forget where we got Andrew from. I think Jerry had spotted him somewhere.
Yeah, Andrew was just a really bright person who was kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
And he joined our old forums administrator, Corey, and I used to hold a hangout after the old podcast.
Oh, was he in that drunken hangout you guys used to do?
Yeah. He joined one of them one time, and Andrew's the kind of guy you get, if you just spend a few minutes talking to him, you realize that, wow, he's a really bright person, and he has a lot of very strong opinions on things. And we made sure that Phil knew. Both Corey and myself, I think, talked to Phil and let him know.
I think you guys bugged me for a little while about it. Yeah,
because, well, it just, sometimes you just know that things are going to work, and I didn't know how to explain to you that, trust me, this will work.
That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
I think Alex answered a call for writers, which we haven't done in a long time. And maybe if we get our stuff together, we'll say, hey, we need some more writers. So it can happen. It's been a while. I think Alex did that. Richard might've done that as well, separately. Especially because we knew we needed somebody in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So for any number of reasons.
I remember the first, what, 4, 5, 6 months when it was basically just me and you?
Yeah.
How quickly that, no, that's not going to work.
There was so much. Remember when, you know, like literally if I was on an airplane for a while and I didn't have Wi-Fi, like things wouldn't go up on the website and decided, yeah, that's just a bad idea. Oh, man. Yeah, but like none of us works in the same location. Jerry and Russell are probably the closest to each other.
Yeah, physically. I think so.
So it's a crazy fun job. And if you ever get the chance to do it, try it. I'm enjoying it. I'm still here. Hey, breaking news, even though we're not doing breaking news. Yes, Google Wallet is shutting down the physical card at the end of June. That is official.
And the four people that really used it are going to find somewhere else.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. Sucks if you're using it.
Yeah, it sucks when Google kills a service that you like, but do you really want them to spend time and resources and money to keep something open that, you know, has not enough use to be profitable?
Yeah.
What I actually wanted them to do was to deliver the card that they had when they first started that idea and were beta testing it to all of the Google employees. And then they watered it down and did this crappy gift card thing. Because that's what this was. It was an elaborate gift card.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not glad that it's gone, but I'm glad that it's not, you know, a ghost of what it should have been.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the voicemails. Here we have James.
Hello, Android Central. This is James in Louisville, Kentucky. Two questions. One, if I want a phone that's going to have security updates and preferably OS updates for as long and reliable into the future, but don't want something as big as a 6P, what phone would you recommend given that the 5X reviews have been pretty tepid? And two, given the Android Linux kernel bug that came out, how long do you think it's going to be until Google uses the one stick it has over the manufacturers and tells them that if they don't keep their phones up to date, they're going to start revoking their ability to include Google Play services on their phones, because that would make a dent.
Number one, the 5X is a good phone now. There was some sort of magic in the last Marshmallow update that it got, that there is a night and day difference. I'm not going to say that it's the best phone in that size category, but I will say it's the best bang for your buck in Android right now. It got made that good.
I wish we had one that hadn't gotten updated. I want to compare them side by side.
As soon as somebody told me that this update makes it better, I rushed to update mine.
Everyone did, because it had a lot of serious problems when it first came out. I did not want to write the review that I wrote for that phone because I had been using both it and the 6P at the same time.
And that had to
hurt. The 6P was just so much better. And it was rough. I really wanted to love that phone. And I guess maybe it's time I go back and take another shot at it and see how it holds up.
Unfortunately, if security updates and operating system updates are two separate things, but if you want both of them and you want Android, let's face the facts, you only have one choice if you don't want to wait months and months and months or even longer, and that's a Nexus phone. At this point, if your phone is really good and you're not in love with the 5X, maybe wait till October. I mean, I don't know.
I was going to say size-wise, and I know this kind of goes against everything we stand for when we talk about updates, I'm still loving the hell out of the size of the Galaxy S7. It's like the perfect size and feel for me. It's working really, really well. And while it's not going to get whatever the N update is, like on day two, like Nexus phones will, and it's, you know, it's going to be 3, 4, 5, 6 months later. But I have a little more faith in Samsung to keep things up to date and secure than I probably do in other manufacturers that aren't Nexus. Just because, and I think some of that's a little bit of a cop-out of an answer, but at the same time, like Google, they have other mechanisms in place to help mitigate that sort of thing.
I think you I don't know. I think you should also probably consider the BlackBerry Prove, but understand that, like Jerry said, OS updates and security updates are not the same thing. And if you're going to take a look at both, if both of them are important, then the 5X is what you want. But if you have the opportunity to try the Prove out, you know, to hold it in your hand and actually use it, I think you may actually enjoy it if you're a fan of the smaller size, because it's weird the way that it feels in your hand. It looks like it would be a big phone, but it really doesn't feel like it when you hold it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I love the Priv. I had to let Andrew try mine for a while, and I miss it. I am not ashamed to say that that was one of my very favorite phones.
But it doesn't have Marshmallow yet, and that's I get why, but it's kind of annoying.
Well, you know me. I'm not concerned about Marshmallow. I'm concerned about not getting my phone in trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah, security updates are on point. They routinely are faster than Google when it comes to delivering security updates, and that's... Yep. Impressive, and to their credit, but it has also been a while since the phone was launched, and at some point we kind of need to be like, hey, what's going on?
I tell you, the 6P feels really big to me now every time
after
I pick
using
it up.
The S7.
Yeah,
same here.
It's just like it's not comfortable for me to use now.
I want to talk about his second question there.
Yeah,
the idea of Google holding the manufacturers, you know, kind of hostage. If you don't do this, we're going to revoke your license for Play services. That can't happen, guys. Can you imagine what the courts, especially in Europe, would have to say if a major player approached the court with Google is saying I can't have the same services they freely give to my competition unless I pledge to spend lots of money years from now and continue to do things that we don't even know yet. You can't do that. They can say you have to have it up to date today and probably get away with that. And I wish they would do a little more of that than they do now. You know, tell them, okay, this is the current version. You know, right now I think that's 5.01. That should at least be 5.1.1 that has some major bug fixes. Tell people you're not allowed to release a phone with older software than this and still get our stuff. And they could get away with that, but telling somebody they have to update in the future or you're going to yank something away that you've already given isn't going to fly.
Sort of. They can make it a part of the initial contract. They can't modify it afterwards. And that's the thing. Every company who puts Google Play services on their phone, it's not just a series of hurdles that they have to jump through. It's a contract they could sign. It's an agreement that they signed to Google that they're going to behave a certain way. And updates to a certain degree are actually part of that.
Yeah, they it goes beyond the pledge that everybody signed and nobody really meant.
The Open Hands Out Alliance.
Yeah. And, just when it comes to enforcing that, if you woke up tomorrow and your Galaxy S5 couldn't connect to the Play Store or use Gmail anymore, how mad are you going to be? And that's exactly what you're asking for. And that's, if Google tried that, I think breaking up into Alphabet was not enough, and they're going to wish they didn't try it.
Breaking things in my office. Yeah, it's not a good answer.
My answer is, you got to vote with your wallet, and that's never a solution. And it makes you feel good inside to think that way, and that's how we're gonna stick it to the man. But that's really all you can do. If I think his name was James, the guy who called in. If not, I apologize. If you feel that strongly, then yes, you should buy a 5X, and know that. Somewhere, when somebody counts how many of each phones were sold and they discuss possibly why, that's where your opinion matters.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
That wasn't Jeff, right? Sorry, I'm forgetting names. We got a lot of voicemails. Let's find out. Here's Jeff.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff, and I've got a question about Project Fi. So I'm going to Europe later this year. I'm going to get a Project Fi SIM card. Because of the roaming data agreements across the pond. and I'm going to take a lot of photos to upload using my Nexus 6P camera. My carrier back home is fantastic where I work, live, and do most of my traveling, so I'm not porting my phone number. So are there any gotchas as far as swapping from Sprint SIM to Project Fi and then back to Sprint after the trip? Again, not porting my phone number. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, guys. Love the work you do.
There shouldn't be.
I don't think so, yeah.
But kind of makes me wonder how many people would think about doing that, though, which is kind of fascinating, using Google Fi just for like long-term travel.
Be prepared when you switch back from Fi to Sprint to reset your phone if necessary.
Yeah, if you have to.
Because
what phone did you say he was using, 6P? Yeah.
Well, he's either using the 6 or the 6P on Sprint and Fi. But when your phone registers on a network, it's... What did Verizon and Sprint call those? Not service books. That's BlackBerry. Something that you automatically download and it's installed in the back end. It's software that they use to run and optimize for their network. Most carriers do that. I know Sprint does that. And I'm pretty sure Project Fi does the same thing. So you're going to be switching those little chunks of software back and forth, and there's always the potential for things to go bad.
I'm trying to remember what I did when I was in China last year, because I had Fi going. I also had a Chinese SIM that I was popping in and out of things.
I remember you with the VPN.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing. Like, on Fi, I didn't need the VPN.
Yeah.
On the Chinese SIM, I did. And it was weird over there anyway. Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
There, Ryan, it's a PRL.
Yeah.
Preferred roaming list. And that's just, it helps your phone hand off from tower to tower. And most networks have something very similar.
You believe we used to do like news posts of when new PRL updates were out? Just let it update. Just let it update. Here's another one from RF Mike.
What's going on, Android Central? This is RF Mike. I am recording this via my LG Watch Urbane. This question is for Phil and Jerry. You guys talked about how well the Intel processors are doing with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, battery life, and how they've grown and gotten better. In the Fossil Q Founder Android Wear Watch, have you guys noticed a difference with its abilities and battery life and performance over a similar watch Android Wear device, such as the Moto 360 second gen, running the Snapdragon 400 processors? I'd like to hear what you guys have to say, and I hope to see some new Android Wear news in the near future. Thank you.
Who did I send that watch to?
Me.
You wearing it?
No, and it's not because of the performance or the battery life. It's every bit as good, maybe a little better than my Huawei watch. Not enough to measure for me to call one better than the other.
Yeah.
I don't think we're pushing either of the processors on either of these, you know, wristwatches to their limit. I'm not wearing it because it's so big and so heavy.
I mean, a big watch.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm back on the Urbane with this honking metal band that I put on it, and I'm not sure I could take off if I wanted to, actually. The display is not as good as the Huawei watch. I think that's pretty clear if you look at them side by side. But I'm perfectly happy back on this watch, insofar as one can be happy with an Android Wear watch at this point.
But Intel is taking it slow, longer than I would like, but they have the resources that they're nailing one problem at a time, and They make good mobile stuff.
Go back to the interview I did in Barcelona. I mean, pretty obviously, and a lot of that actually involved modems, but I think across the board they're not happy with their sell through. So I'm hoping for more from them this year. Good question though.
Yep.
Three to go. Here's Scott. No, I have to rewind. I need a better program for playing voicemails.
Are you beating Mario, Russell?
He didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want my opinion.
This is Scott Martin from Belpre, Ohio. First off, I want to say thanks for having this Q&A podcast. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Hey, by the way, I'm pretty sure Scott's the one who said he's a DJ, which is why he sounds better than us. So, yeah.
First off, I want to give two big shouts out to Jerry Hildenbrand. Number one, I live on the border of West Virginia, Jerry, just across from Parkersburg. I work as an IT specialist for the federal government over there, and I want to give a big shout out to West Virginia. And secondly, I'm rocking a gold Nexus 6P, and I love it. Thanks, Jerry. Hey, what I wanted to talk to you folks about today is that 2 weeks ago, I went completely Samsung free. I ditched my Note 4 and my Gear S2 smartwatch for a Nexus 6P and a ZenWatch 2 Android Wear watch. Why? Well, primarily due to the fact that I kept on waiting for new software and security patches from Samsung. And so my observation so far, man, the Nexus 6P is the smoothest, fastest phone I've ever had. Now, the Android Wear experience, though, was where I was most surprised. I really thought the Gear S2 smartwatch was a great platform until I tried Android Wear. But man, Android Wear just blows it away with ease of use, the way things are laid out, how you access notifications, how you're able to reply, how good Google Now is with translations and ease of use and the cards. So that's what I wanted you guys to talk about today is what are your thoughts on Samsung versus Google versus LG versus HTC, the different implementations and what you think is the best. Thanks, guys.
I mean, that's kind of a tall order, but I thought it was the timing was spot on because Russell just did a really interesting post on a lot of things that the Gear S2 does better than Android Wear.
So put your game down, Russell. I'm going to ride you on this as much as I can.
No, I did. I've been using the Gear S2, but I've been using the cellular version. It's got the Verizon SIM in it. And I was really surprised by I like the way that notifications hit the phone. I like the very first thing that happened when I connected this phone to my watch was it gave me a list of apps that could deliver notifications, and it said, pick the ones that you want. And Android Wear does something similar, but it's buried, and you have to kind of go through and make these adjustments. And I really liked the out-of-the-box experience. There's still a ton of stuff. It's so busy and complicated. I'm probably using a fifth of what this watch is supposed to be able to do because it's just so complicated and bogged down with other stuff. But if they were to streamline this interface and maybe play nice with Google Now, it would be a really impressive competitor to what's out there right now.
I ordered one to go along with the GS7 we bought because I want to try it again.
I mean, you know, Jeff sounds a lot like me. Number one, we both live in almost heaven and we have excellent taste in phones. But there are different types of people. I want a streamlined, simplified experience that does the few things I want my phone to do very, very well. I place a high priority on keeping my personal data very secure. A lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. And neither one of us are right. You know, neither one of us are wrong. It's just a really good thing that there are electronic devices that can satisfy our needs as well as the person who 128 gigs isn't enough for all the stuff I want on my phone. Those people's opinions are very valid. And if you would take the stuff a Note 5 or an S7 is doing and try to do that all on the Nexus 6P, you would have the same glitches in the performance. It's not a matter that the phone is bad. It's the opposite. It is a modern miracle that Samsung was able to engineer a tiny device with no passive or no active cooling that can do as much as a new Galaxy phone does. That's amazing.
I tell you, I mean, I still enjoy a stock Android experience as much as the next Nexus fanboy. But I'm still amazed at how happy I was with the Note 5, not 100%. And the GS7 I'm enjoying a lot more than any other Samsung phone I've ever used. I'd never particularly enjoyed it before. And there's, you know, I've still got headaches on here, sure. They are doing a lot. I have no doubt in my mind that this is the best phone you can buy right now across the board. Like when you look at the sheer number of things it can do and do really well.
So, I mean, it sounds like Phil is in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
He appreciates the value of all this extra stuff that his phone can do, even if he doesn't use it. And not having the latest security update is not an absolute deal breaker. And that just goes to show that everybody wants different things.
And that doesn't mean that that's good.
Well, no, but there's a difference between you wish it did it or it doesn't, so I'm never buying this.
Yeah.
You know, and both are valid opinions. And, man, I get people fight so much about this stuff. Just, man, buy what you like and be happy with that thing.
I was driving into the office today. It was supposed to be raining all day and it hadn't started yet. But thinking, you know what? Because I'm on the G5 right now. I was thinking, you know, on the GS7, I don't have to worry about if it's raining. And I've got the phone in my hand as I'm walking from the office to the car. Like, you just don't have to worry about it. It's little things like that. And it's not like I'm not going to buy a really good phone if it's not waterproof. But they've just added so much cool stuff in there. So that's where I'm at.
I do really like the GS7. I'm just concerned that it's going to fall out of my hand and shatter like the Goblin King's crystal ball and just be terrible.
Hasn't for me yet. I'd found a couple good scratches.
Yeah. So.
Was that Jeff or was that Skip?
That was Jeff.
All right. Ooh, good.
I'm pretty sure Jerry has kidnapped in a basement somewhere.
Oh, hey. It puts the lotion. Never mind. All right. Here comes Skip.
Hello, Android Central. This is Skip. And the reason for my message is one of the last podcasts, I believe it was last week, you had a guy call in and ask for advice on a cell phone that was not very fragile. Last year, I was driving a 200-barrel water truck in the oil fields in North Dakota, and I had one of my phones was the Moto G. I dropped the phone in the dark, didn't realize I had dropped it until I came back to get another load, and by then I had run it over. And to give you an idea of the impact, my truck, fully loaded, is about 125,000 pounds. And when I found the phone, I picked it up, and of course the screen was shattered. Pressed the button on the side of the phone, it lit up. I was able to unlock the phone and actually make calls with the phone. The phone continued to work. So if you're looking for a phone that you don't want to put a case on, you want it to be pretty durable, if it can survive that, it could probably survive most everyday accidents.
I did have to cut out some stuff there, including where the screen was shattered, and he finally had to quit using it because he was cutting his fingers. But the point was it was still working.
and the G's waterproof if it's the 2015 model. Well, waterproof as in not really proof, but you can get it wet.
Yeah. Resistant.
But hey, that's pretty cool. Yep. Can I run over some phones, Phil?
Somebody else wanted to know. A couple of people asked us actually why we didn't mention the OnePlus X, or maybe it was the OnePlus 2. I forget which one. In that conversation last week,
can I answer that?
Sure.
On a personal level, I don't trust that company. I see nothing wrong with their products. I've used them; they feel really well, and I hate to say that because some of the people working on the software are really great guys, and they're tightly associated with them. But I do not like the shady, underhand dealings that they publicly do on their own website. And that's not partial. I shouldn't do it. But that's just, I don't want to steer you towards something that I wouldn't buy myself. And that's the only reason.
We have a lot of people who ask us every time an article goes up why it is that we keep comparing these brand new phones to the OnePlus 2. Because we've done it now with the Galaxy S7 and the Nexus 6P, and we're going to do it again with the G5. And the answer is pretty simple. OnePlus stood up and said that this was the 2016 flagship killer, and that's how good this phone was. And I'm not going to let that go anytime soon, because your marketing is a part of you being a responsible company and not just a scrappy, let's make as much noise as we can, you know, kind of organization. And so I'm going to hold them to it.
They are just phones.
Yep. They are also just phones.
I know, we're not supposed to say that, but it's true.
We're allowed to let a little bit of our personal feelings influence what we think.
Sure.
I mean, I hope so.
As long as somebody else is arguing the opposite. And,
sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure. I would never tell somebody who thinks OnePlus is a great brand in a company that they're wrong. Because you're not wrong. You just have a different opinion from me.
I mean, going back to Jean-Paul, that's part of what makes this work. And not just this, but any sort of publishing and journalism. I think that sort of conflict makes for a better product. Sorry, that's very boss of me to say. But it does. God, my wife and I used to have it out sometimes in editors' meetings at the newspaper. She worked at the paper, too. That's where we met. That'd be awkward. But sometimes she won. Usually she won.
Keep going.
I don't win, ever.
Sometimes she won and sometimes you gave up?
Yes. And most of the time she was right anyway. So here we have, who is this? Oh, this is Ren.
Hey, this is Ren from California, and I just had a question about...
Hey, by the way, this isn't Serenity. I thought this was Serenity calling.
Oh, I was just getting ready to ask.
No. I told her earlier, I thought this was Serenity from iMore. I was like, and I had to listen to it for a little while. I was like, is that Serenity? And finally I realized, no, it's not. But anyway, here we go.
Android Wear or smartwatches in general. In February, I switched over from Apple completely, coming from a iPhone 6S to a Galaxy Note 5.
See, this is where I was waiting for the troll. You see why now?
Yeah, because Ren definitely wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and from my Apple Watch to a Gear S2. I'm not exactly loving the Gear S2, and I've heard some great things about the Moto 360 second gen, and how Android Wear has more support than the Samsung Wear platform. I just wanted to know your opinion. Do you think that the Moto would be closer to what I experienced on my Apple Watch, or your experience with those? Love the podcast. Thank you so much.
I can't get past the way the Apple Watch looks. Let's be honest. It looks like a sexier LG watch, like the very first Android Wear watch.
Yeah, it does. With just a little bit more roundness and a little bit more price tag.
Yeah, it does nothing.
A lot more price tag.
The Gear S2 is closer to the Apple Watch in a lot of ways and further away in other ways. Android Wear, you lose the experience of actually running applications from your watch standalone, other than a handful of items that can act without being paired to your phone. That's first and foremost. The Gear S2 overwhelms me, so don't feel bad. That's just too much for me.
It's complicated, and an S Voice is just not even anywhere close to Google Now. It's just not. And it's very complicated. If you know what you're doing, you can set it up to be a pretty reasonable notification dumpster, and the watch faces that they have are pretty nice. It does a couple of things really well, but as a whole, it is a complicated thing.
I would suggest and I hope nobody from Amazon is listening, Amazon has a 30-day return policy. Maybe try a Huawei watch from them, because it has the microphone and speaker, and it can do that kind of thing that both the Gear S2 and the Apple Watch can do, whereas some other Android Wear watches don't do that. And if you don't like it, send it back. You know, don't damage it or anything. Leave it good for the next guy. But I hate to tell somebody to sell what they've got and buy something else to be happy, because you don't know. It's hard.
It is a complicated thing. And if you're in a position to try out an Android Wear watch, then you certainly can. The Moto 360 doesn't do the speaker response, which is kind of a letdown. We were all kind of hoping that it would do that. But it is otherwise a pretty great watch. The problem, and it also comes in a women's edition, depending on how your wrists are set up, which may or may not be a thing for you to consider. But the problem that I have right now with Android Wear watches is that there's a lot of stuff that you don't have control over. I don't think there's a single one of us using Android Wear right now that isn't really sick and tired of Google Now notifications showing up every 30 seconds for no reason.
18 minutes to work while I'm out in my front yard.
Let me just flip through my watch right here. All right, there's a calendar. That's cool. I don't need to know that Hangouts and Play Music. Like, I just reset this morning for the G5. But, like, usually just so many notifications I don't need. How many times do I need the same Google Now notification about a package that was delivered 5 days ago?
Well, and the worst part is you can't shut those off right. on just one device. You can shut them down completely, but I don't want to shut them down completely.
Yeah, so. It's not enough control for that kind of stuff, and that's the biggest problem that I have with Android Wear right now.
Yeah. Android Auto is the same way, by the way. People keep asking, you know, how do I turn off the notifications for this app? And I'm like, yeah, you can't. You can uninstall it. But that's it. That is it for the voicemails. How about we do this? Let's do some emails as like a lightning round. We'll go really fast.
Cool.
Do it.
Not going to do a lot. Jerry sent one along. You said most issues with Nexus 5 are fixed in the latest update. You shouldn't have said that, Jerry. That's what he says.
It needs to be said tempting. More than once.
Well, he says it's tempting to get it now more than ever. His only concern is the processor. You know, new Nexus will come out in the fall. Say it has Snapdragon 820. So is 820 a huge improvement over the 808?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it's faster and more power efficient at the same time, and they really mean it this time. It's not a lie like it has been in the past.
What if I said it's not that big a deal?
I would say that you're wrong on several levels.
I would say then you wouldn't have sent an email asking about it if it wasn't that big a deal to you.
I didn't send the email.
But, I mean, the gentleman that did send the email deserves an answer.
Yeah, I'm kind of, the more I use the GS7, the more I'm kind of lukewarm on the battery life. Now, I get that there's, you know, like Jerry said, it's a phone with a lot of stuff going on. But I'm just not sure. And I worry about people thinking A20 is the be-all, end-all of battery life forever.
No, not. Definitely not. But, no, but Phil, you have a S6 still?
No, Jerry has it. Oh, I'm sure it's better than the S6. I mean, and I know it's better than the S6.
Well, no, I was going to say, like, specifically, like, individual tasks, things like Vainglory.
Mm-hmm.
Just the amount of power consumed for something like that on the S7 is dramatically less.
And we need to compare it to the 808, not the A10 or the Exynos. The 808 was a...
Oh, G4. G4 would be the one.
Yeah, that was a good compromise.
And that was a special thing they did, yeah.
I mean, it's better in almost every category and noticeably better in many of them.
Ryan wants to know if there's a way to do audio to Chromecast audio into a regular and cast to a regular Chromecast at the same time.
No, not right now. No.
Yeah.
It's probably going to come at some point because it's the way that they set up group stuff. It really feels kind of cobbled together because it's really a manual thing that you can do. It works really well once you get it all set up, but the process of setting it up is kind of complicated. And I think that I would believe that they're working on it. I don't have anything to suggest that. I don't have any evidence of it, but it seems a likely thing.
Tom is on his fourth warranted replacement. LG G3 says he used wired earbuds all day long and they work perfectly until he tries to make or receive a phone call. I would tell them to get you a different phone. It might even cost you a little money, which would suck, but obviously that phone is not working for some reason.
The same earbuds every time?
That's the other question.
And especially if you still have the package for the earbuds, look on the back, on the bottom right, does it say made for Apple? If so, it's never going to work on your G3.
Actually, start with that, but yeah, four phones and it's not working. I would almost say it has to be the earbuds, right?
That would be the first place I'd look.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible that he had that kind of bad luck. But it's, yeah, if you've got to keep taking it back, it's time for them to offer you something else to keep you a satisfied customer.
It's time to update anyway, if you can. If you can get away with it and like use that as an excuse to have them help you out, do it. Jason from Dayton, Ohio has a question about the big Android barbecue. He wants to know if any of us is going and when should we be getting more information about it?
Oh.
We'll have somebody there, I'm sure. Hopefully yeah, I
plan on going. If Phil will let me.
I think I was in China this year, wasn't I? I was somewhere.
You were like... Just getting back, I think.
Yeah, that was it.
I'd like to see a couple of us there this year. I know it'll at the very least be me and Jerry and probably Ara as well. Hopefully we can get Phil there to see how it's changed since the last time when he had to take a nap on the bleachers.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Were you there for that one?
I was there for that one. I was actually running it, part of it anyway, for that one.
We showed up. And I showed up with Joe and Rod from SwiftKey, and I think we were all hungover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joe wanted to walk around with a keg. That was impressive.
Who do you think drove him to get it? I think we got two kegs, actually.
Yeah, that was a fun weekend. Not exactly good on productivity, but great for everything else. But yeah, yes. As far as details, I know I actually just got done talking to Corey Robb, who is helping with the planning and stuff this year. And he said that they were still working out some of the finer details, but I suspect we will hear something from them after the DC event, which is next Saturday or next Sunday. So we'll hear more details about that. If you're going to the DC event, I will be there. But I think it's just me this time.
Yeah, I don't think I can make that. I have some doctor stuff I have to take care of.
Kevin says, I really enjoy your podcast, even though I'm an iPhone user. My girlfriend has an unlocked Nexus 6. Warning. Here we go again. Here we go. I'm just saying. Works fine, except it will update itself to Android 5.1.1 and no further. It hasn't received a security update in several months. If you attempt to update, it tells you that it's up to date. How do I force an update?
Lock it.
Does it have a Verizon or an AT&T SIM card in it? If so, take that out and try it on Wi-Fi, number one.
I was gonna give an answer that I usually don't give, and that would be to use one of those toolkit things.
That's like a last ditch.
I didn't say it was a good answer.
It's not wrong if nothing else works, but
yeah.
It's also possible that it's on a version so far back that the update path has been broken.
Sometimes I've had friends, and I'm not sure if they had review units, because that can always get weird, but every now and then you hear of a Nexus phone that just doesn't get updates. Actually, I'll revise my previous answer and say yet again that this is why it's worth learning how to do all that basic ADB stuff. It's not that hard. I mean, it takes a little time, and you know, there can be stupidity involved between the keyboard and the computer.
It's
usually me, but
You know what I wanted to, if you can't, first off, take the SIM card out and try it on Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Verizon and AT&T have some amount of control over how those updates are fetched over their network, even if you are on Wi-Fi with their SIM in. So take that out and try it. If not, if you're not registered for the forums, register, go into the forum for your particular Nexus, and in all cap letters, help me update my phone.
Yeah.
Those, they will help you. They will be right there, because the process is fairly easy. Especially if you have a Mac, it's super easy. The hardest part is getting the drivers installed.
Yep.
And they're there, and they love to do this kind of stuff. They'll be pleased that somebody asked them to help troubleshoot another thing of this nature, because that's what they love to do.
There's another thing. If you do want to do any of that ADB stuff, don't do it on Windows. Just save yourself the trouble.
Well, I mean, you might have to. Don't run out and buy a new computer. You can.
No, but it was not fun. Wow, something's on fire.
It's my mixtape.
Mark in Cumbria in Alex's fair country wants to know if we expect to see any manufacturers using kind of last generation processors in new phones this year.
Probably not, and because they, and possibly undeservedly, got such a bad name.
Yeah.
And, you know, Samsung's not going to make any more old Exynos processors. They're going to make newer ones of varying degrees of quality and performance ratios. And you'll see those, but Qualcomm just had a bad year.
Norman wants to know, what is the best plastic Google Cardboard viewer? I think the ViewMaster one's pretty good.
ViewMaster is my favorite.
My kids use that.
I'll have to try. I've tried a few from Amazon and didn't like any of them enough to recommend them. So
ViewMaster is not bad. It's just heavy, because there's a lot of plastic in it, but it's not bad for like the temporary use that you normally get from cardboard.
Do you even lift, bro?
One final marital advice question, and this one's especially dangerous because the guy who sent it in knows where I work. He knows where my office is. He might well be in the building right now. Jim wants to know, a few months ago, he got out of Verizon, picked up Project Fi. He's on a 6P. She is on a 5X. Oh, wait, no, he dropped 5 for a Verizon SIM. Okay, let's see. My wife, however, has not been so fortunate. Switched from her Note 4 to the 5X. I thought I was doing her an extra favor. Oh, dude. No, no. See, that's your first mistake. We're not helpful. With no bloatware and monthly security updates, but I'm beginning to suspect I made a mistake. She ran into all kinds of problems with Bluetooth, the camera, and overall sluggishness. Thought my prayers would be answered with a March update, and they were to some degree, but the phone is still laggy and the video locks up occasionally when viewing from the browser. It's getting to the point that she's thinking about going back to her Note. Reset the phone, wipe the cache, reseated the SIM. Nothing has worked. Jerry, fix his phone, please.
You fix it by letting her go back to the Note.
Oh.
Trust me in my string of failed relationships when I tell you that you find out what she thinks will make her happy and you allow her to do that. That's simply my best answer. You could fix her phone to your satisfaction all day long, but it's her satisfaction that matters to her.
Are you sure this can't be fixed with a Tasker profile?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Wow. Absolutely not. Oh, by the way, Chris wrote back. He was the one who was looking for the cheap Verizon phone for his mother-in-law. He was the one who asked why the OnePlus X wasn't mentioned.
Because it's not on Verizon?
Well, then there's that. I'm telling you, if you want, I've said it before, say it again. If you want fun and unlocked and world sim, blah, 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 you don't do Verizon or Sprint. That's just the way it works.
Unless you always do Verizon or Sprint because those phones are sold unlocked.
Yeah.
Or if you do iPhone or Nexus.
Or iPhone or Nexus.
That, boys and girls, is going to do it, I think. That was fun. We'll have to do that every now and then. Absolutely have to do that every now and then.
Yep, I'm glad people kept bugging us to do it because it turned out to be really fun.
I'm glad we had one woman send in a voicemail. That's always tough. I don't know why, but it is.
It was an awesome voicemail, too.
It was. It was really good.
I think it's because women are smarter than men, and they have everything figured out themselves and don't need help from us bearded bimbo. I couldn't even think of a word. It was family friendly.
I think you're half right, but okay. I won't say about which part. We're just going to get ourselves in more trouble here. Podcast at androidcentral.com. We will continue answering your questions next week. Though next week, we are definitely going to talk a good bunch about the G5. Podcast at androidcentral.com. Or just come join us live and ask your question there. Jerry, any final thoughts, words of wisdom to impart on the people?
Nope.
Well said. Russell?
If everyone is very, very lucky, I'm going to do next week's podcast through the Vive.
Like, oh my god!
With a virtual desktop, so I can see you guys and a camera pointed at me in my little VR corner. I think I'm going to, if it gets here in time and I can get it set up in time and get all the work done, then I'm going to do it.
So we have that to look forward to, or not?
If not, then I will be deeply saddened.
Fine. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us live. Everybody who sent in voicemails and emails, thank you guys so much, too. That made it fun. And we will absolutely do it again sometime. Not next week. Sometime. I promise. Everybody listening later, you've been awesome, too. That's it. See ya.
Goodbye.
Adios.